Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your spirit that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. We thank you, Lord, for every listener that this word of truth will permeate and penetrate their souls and mind, eradicating every manner of ignorance and rubber stamping the light of God. May it so shine in their hearts that darkness will disappear in the name of Jesus Christ. May we also walk in this light the rest of our days in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to continue from where we left, and we talked about fast food, we talked about giving, but I want to pick up from fast food conversation that we had, and we want to look at the fast food in the epistles, because we have to see where is the fast food being mentioned in the epistle. When you look at Romans chapter 8 verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. It says the first fruit. Paul is saying the first fruit of the Spirit. So we have to look in context so that we are able to explain better what he meant. So in this context, it was to explain that which is spiritual and not material. And we look at Romans chapter 8 verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead of sin. I'm reading slowly so that you can get that. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Going back to Romans 8:23, it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, which have the first fruit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When you look at this conversation Paul is having, he's showing us that the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, let's go to verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of Spirit and of Spirit of life. Look at verse 5. For they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are of in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelt in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. Remember, he had said, for the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when Paul is saying the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that indwells the believer in Christ, he's referring to the same thing, which is verse 2 of Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of life in Christ. So it is the same thing. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So in verse 10, he refers to the Spirit as life, the same way the Spirit of life, the Spirit as life. In verse 10, he says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." Paul is showing us and explaining in detail what happens to a person who's gotten born again. And you find this is a conversation is beginning. He's first of all pointing out the erroneous details that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are exercising from Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, and then chapter 3, then chapter 4. He's justifying why it is not out of works but by faith, mentioning Abraham. Then he's furthering the conversation. What happened when you talk about faith? What happened in chapter 5? Now that we've been justified, then he says that is not the reason why you should continue to sin, chapter 6. And he compares whereby you intend to do what you want to do, but your body is not responding to it. He says, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak, Romans chapter 7. Then after that, he says, after all this, I want you to understand, there is therefore no more condemnation. In the battle of the flesh and the spirit, there is now therefore no more condemnation. For we are in Christ Jesus. When we walk after, not after the flesh, which battles with the spirit, but after the spirit. So when Paul is writing and he's saying that look at verse 11. But if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the shall quicken. This word quicken, it means to give life, to make alive. He will make alive. We were once dead to sin, but Christ has made us alive. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when he say he will quicken up, and Christ, but the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, shall make you alive, shall give you life. And this is the same conversation John is having in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. Peter also used that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the spirit. So when you look at this, is showing us coming alive from the works of Jesus Christ. From Romans chapter 8, the physical body of a believer, you can look at verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. So the physical body of a believer, which is mortal, will be quickened because of the spirit of Jesus, or the spirit of Christ, the spirit of life, the spirit of him who dwells in us, that spirit of adoption, that is the spirit of adoption that dwells in us. And this word adoption, it means to place as a son, a right of inheritance. And this is a right that we receive by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That is the spirit of adoption. This placing as a son is by the indwelling of the Spirit of God in us. And this indwelling of the Spirit of God is what we call adoption. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who was subjected the same in hope. For the earnest, another version says, Romans chapter 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Look at that. Let's go to verse 19 first. Verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. in another version says it was for the revealing, the disclosure of the sons of God. Why? Because for the creature was made subject to vanity. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who was subjected the same in hope. Look at verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we were saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? That is Paul. So in context, the corruption, when he says verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That corruption refers to mortality, while that redemption is buying back. So the manifestation of the sons of God refers to the redemption of the body of the believer in Christ Jesus. It shows that our physical body is incorporated in our sonship. And that is why Paul is also using Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 to help us understand further, in whom you also trusted, that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at that in 2 Corinthians 1:22, who was also sealed us and given us earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So this shows you clearly that the first fruit in Romans 8:23 refers to the Spirit of adoption. Hence the rest that we all come, or that will come in future, is the redemption of the body. And John is also explaining in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he appear, we shall be like him. Hence, when you look at the word first fruit used in Romans chapter 8 verse 23, it was a spiritual reference. And other references in Romans chapter 11 verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lamb is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And Paul is quoting directly from Numbers chapter 15 verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, where you come into the land whither I bring to you, then it shall be that when you eat the bread of the land, you shall offer up and heave offering. Offer unto the Lord. Verse 20, you shall offer up a cake of the first of your dove. You shall offer up the cake of a first of your dove for an heave offering. As you do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye have it. Of the first of your dove you shall give unto the Lord an heave offering in your generations. Look at that. So the first fruit in this context of Numbers chapter 15 is referring to Israel. His explanation in Romans chapter 17, chapter 11, let's just go there. Romans chapter 11. Let's look at verse 5. Even so, then, as at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. One, then Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table made as there, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow their back away. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them, I'm reading Romans chapter 11, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? When you look at that, Romans chapter 11 verse 7 says, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded, according to what it is written. And that is, you find Paul is also using the word fast fruit. We are using in when you continue Romans chapter 11 verse 14, if by means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lamb also is holy, also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches have been broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, what grafted into among them, with them partaketh the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Though thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. This is Paul explaining that through the disobedience of the Gentiles, through the disobedience of the Israelites, the Gentiles were beneficiary of salvation. The Gentiles were beneficiary of the stumbling of the Israelites. Verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So Paul is explaining the first fruit in relation to salvation, and this salvation is through what Christ did. Their stumbling made salvation available to the Gentiles, and that is what is calling the lamb. And look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them that slept. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are in Christ at his coming. When you look at Paul's explanation in Romans chapter 11, what we've just read right now, we find that Paul is actually comparing first fruit, is relating it to the salvation of men. And this salvation of men, it is a result of the first fruit availability. I don't know if you're getting me. It's a result of the first fruit availability. And he's saying in Romans chapter 8 that we now have the spirit of adoption, and we groan, we are waiting for the first fruit. For the first fruit has made us have this indwelling of the Spirit. So this first fruit that we've received, or this first fruit that has been given, according to Numbers 15, and God spoke to Moses saying, speak unto the children, saying unto them, when you come into the land where I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall offer up the heaven offering up to the Lord, and shall offer up the cake of the first of your dove, the first of your dove, verse 21, of the first of your dove you shall give unto the Lord and heave offering in your generations. So this is Paul, Moses explaining to the children of Israel when they come to the promised land. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. It is very specific that Christ has become the first fruit of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So they that are Christ's at his coming, Christ the first fruit, then they that are Christ's at his coming. In verse 20, Christ is the first fruit of them that slept, and that is of them that are dead. Then verse 23, Christ the first fruit. And like the Old Testament, where it was used to refer to livestock, crop, and money, Paul is using the word first fruit to refer to Christ. Romans 16 verse 5, likewise greet the church that is their house. Salute my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. So he's relating this first fruit to Jesus Christ. Let's look further in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 5. Let's start from verse 4. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Let's go to verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done in charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourself unto such, and to everyone that helps us and labors. They have addicted the first fruit of Achaia. So Paul is referring to men or a household, people who are in line or who have received the gospel of Christ as their first fruit. So the first fruit, let's look at James. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature, a kind of first fruit of his creature. Romans, Revelation 14:14, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. The first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. So it is clear to see here that the instances, the writers, the epistles are mentioning, we are looking at first fruit in the epistles. The instances that epistles are mentioning first fruit is more or less referring to Christ and also referring to a believer as a result of listening or receiving the gospel. So there are first fruit is more of to human beings and to Christ. Unlike in the Old Testament, where it was referring to crops, livestock, and fruits. That is important and very, very critical to note. That first fruit in the epistles is referring to Jesus Christ, number one. Number two is referring to men. So Christ is the first fruit of them that slept. And Christ is the first fruit. Then he says that these are the first fruit of Achaia. I beseech you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia. So he was the first fruit of Achaia. So he's referring to people, unlike the Old Testament, where they are referring to crops, livestock, or the products of the land. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.